being here already, and I just got here. And that I've enjoyed it very much. Boy, that was great preaching this morning, Brother Scott. That's great. Wasn't that good?
Amen.
And then the music here, what do you say about that? I'll tell you, when I think about great music, really, in churches, I always think about this place. I've traveled all over this country. And I'm going to tell you something. This here is hard to crowd right here. Brother, this is about as good as it gets.
Amen.
I hope you folks that are members here understand it ain't like this everywhere. Hey, I preach in a lot of old churches, ain't even got a piano player. Nobody to lead the singing. And singing like you heard this morning, listen, I had to go buy your CD to hear it. I don't hear anything like that. That's wonderful. If I could sing like Carla there, I'd go sit in a room by myself, sing to myself, wouldn't you? God wouldn't care if nobody heard me or not. I'd just go sing to myself. Sit around and sing so I could hear me. Amen. Yeah, that's great. Man, I tell you it is. All these, I was thinking about a while ago, and it's all these musicians, all these piano players and organists and all that. Hey, these churches, listen, give anything to have one. And you've got, if somebody's sick and out, you got somebody who can step right up, never miss a beat, go right on. And it's amazing. And God's been good to you. He's been good to this church.
Yes, sir.
Man, you got a wonderful spirit. He's let you have this Faith Harbor week all these years, and the influence you have it on Columbus, reaching people for God. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
People. It ain't about buildings. It's about people. Helping people. Reaching them. Doing all you do. And God put a great man like you, Pastor, right here in the middle of this city to reach this city for Christ, almost 1,700,000 people. That's unthinkable. God must have an awful lot of faith and confidence in him to put him in a place like this with this many people in here that need to be reached. And so you got a good thing going. Is what I'm trying to tell you. You got a good thing going. I've enjoyed. Thank you for everything. Pastor, thank you for having me. I mean, listen, I looked at all the speakers you got this week, and I really do wonder what in the world am I doing here. And I appreciate, though, the opportunity to be here and hear Brother Scott preach this morning. I thank you for the nice room over there. It's so nice. And I preached in West Virginia Monday night. And let's see, yeah, Monday night, Tuesday morning and Tuesday night. And then we got in the car last night, me and my wife drove. Got in here about 2 o'clock this morning, I think it was, something like that. But we really enjoyed being here with you. And I'm going to try to preach a little bit. I really don't know what I was going to preach this morning when I got here. And don't let that worry, it happens to me all the time. Half the time, it's a God's truth. I'll be on the platform on Sunday morning. Look over at old Brother Hunt sitting beside Ronnie. I don't know. You better pray, man. God ain't told me nothing yet. Now, I got 7 or 8 sermons there and I ain't never preached right there. You know what I'm talking about? It ain't like I didn't study, ain't got anything. It's what it is. I'm trying to get the right one. I'm trying to get God to show me which one. And that's sort of the way it is this morning. I'm trying to sort of get the one that I believe God wants. Now, thank God. Thank God, dear. We'll know in a few minutes. You say, how you know? Because if it's dead as a hammer, I missed it. Amen. If it's dead as a hammer and flat as a flitter, you know, hey, God ain't nowhere around him this morning. And I've done that a few times too. You ever done that, preacher?
Constantly.
Hey, I have too. And so I want to help you. That's all I'm here for. I don't care nothing about preaching a good sermon, really. If you got help and this church has helped and you got a blessing, there's something I said to help you, then that's all I'm here for. I ain't here for any other reason. It don't take long, many miles travel, you get over all that. You know, trying to preach good sermons. If I want to hear good sermons, I'll go get one somebody else preached and listen to it, you know. So I'm going to try to help you and try to be a blessing. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Job. Brother Scott, it's good to see you and Jenny and the kids. I remember when Scott was just starting preaching. I remember when he was in Bible college out there at his dad's college and church. And I remember that. It was good days. I can remember so many things. Thank God, Brother Bill, that I didn't turn back.
Yes, sir. Thank the Lord.
I've stayed with it.
Amen.
Yeah. Boy, I mean, I just want to stay with it because I'm afraid I'll miss something.
Sure.
I want to stay with this thing. And at least I can do that. I may not finish in first place, but I can stay in the race. And but I've seen God do some things. You know, if you don't stay with it, you'll be sorry. There'll be a lot of regrets.
Amen.
And I look, see, me and Brother Mann, met him down there in Longview, and Brother Craig Bryan. I remember Brother Craig when I came to Trinity 28 years ago. Craig was going to work, Brother Bryan back here, for Jerry Whitehart as a bus director. You just went there, hadn't you, Craig? And me and him came same time about. He was a bus director. We got to be good friends there. And then, and his wife, Bonnie, his children. I remember when they didn't have any children, I don't think he had any. And boy, just a lot of things. And then Brother Bell, I met Brother Bell at Longview at Soul Winning Clinic. I met him there, and me and him just become good friends. It's amazing. You wouldn't believe it. It's amazing how many things me and him's got in common. I mean, I'm talking about our lives were alike. And yet I'd never met him. So many things. Our ministries. A whole lot of things alike. So I'm just glad to be in this thing. I don't want to be in anything else. There ain't nothing else I want to do. And I'm going to tell you something else. There ain't nothing else I know how to do. If God hadn't called me to preach, I'd probably be standing with a sign on the side of the road saying, we'll work for food, probably. I don't know. No, I don't know what I'd be doing, but I don't know how to do anything else, really. I don't have a trade. I don't know how to do nothing. But God knowed what He wanted me to do,
Amen.
You know. And so I'm going to try to do some of it this morning and help you. Take your Bible, turn to Job 23. I'm just glad to be here. Thank you for everything. Pastor, thank you for that nice room and the stuff that's in it and the invitation to preach. Thank you, folks, for being here. And by the way, thank you for working so hard. This thing's so organized. I get under conviction when I come up here and see how it's all organized good and everything starts on time. I get under conviction because it starts on time. I really do. Sometimes it's about 2 or 3 minutes after and I'm trying to run in there and get... but when I get around Bobby Robertson, I feel better because Brother Bobby don't ever start on time. But Brother Bell, listen, he's doing a great job here, and you folks are. You're a great team. Look at the book of Job, chapter 23. For the sake of time, I'm only going to use 2 verses. I'm going to back you up to the 16th chapter, and then I'm going back to the 23rd chapter. You just stay right where you are. I'm just going to read one verse. If you'd stand with me, I'm going to read one verse in chapter 16 and one in chapter 23. Listen to this verse. You might not have never paid it no attention, but this is a great verse. Listen to what it says. Job 16 and verse 12. I was at ease, but He hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and hath shaken me to pieces. You think about that. God, Job said, God took me by the neck, and God shook me to pieces. Listen to this. And hath set me up for His mark. You know what that means? Throughout the ages, that Job is the mark for people that suffer. He said, right there it is. Other than Jesus Christ, I don't think any man that I know about, Paul suffered a bunch, but I don't know of anybody that ever went through everything Job went through. I've had people say to me, I'm like Job. I said, no, you ain't. You might be hurting for him, but you better read that thing real good and look at everything. And then you go over in the 23rd chapter and it says this, for God maketh my heart soft. Now he wasn't trying to break his neck. He was trying to soften his heart. So if God gets you by the neck and shakes you to pieces, He ain't really trying to get your neck. He's trying to get to your heart. For the Almighty, for God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath He covered the darkness from my face. Now, our Heavenly Father, we've already heard a great message this morning about being on the mountain. Lord, I love the mountains. I love what Scott preached this morning. I love to get up in there where, Lord Jesus, you are, and to get to look at you and see the brightness, Lord, of your glory and the fellowship. But Lord, sometimes take us down into that valley. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help me to help people maybe that's there to understand why maybe they're there. And Lord, help me to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to preach to you on this thought this morning. For God maketh my heart soft. You know something? I've always felt like, preacher, my heart was hard. And I don't want an old calloused heart. Brother man, I pastor people and I have them come in my office sometimes and sit down. And it's sad that we're living in a day when people can't hardly even cry. But let me say this right here, that God knows how to get you where you can. You see what I'm trying to say? You think you are. And I've talked to people sometimes and they're so hard. And I say, oh, I hope and pray that they'll do work on their self and say, now God, help me, but be merciful to me. I always pray this, Lord, use me. Lord, please use me, but have mercy on me. You know what I'm trying to say? Lord, I don't like all that pain. We say, we want to be like Jesus, but I want to tell you something. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. If you're going to be like him, it's going to be a lot of sorrow. There's going to be a lot of grief. There's going to be some burdens. There's going to be some things. But I just want to give you some things that God uses to make our hearts soft. Number one, God makes my heart soft by burdens. You know what he did with Job? The old devil come walking up the road one day and God flagged him down and said, have you considered, here's a good Christian over here. He said, have you considered my servant Job? He's the best I got. And the devil said, well, no wonder. He said, you've put a hedge about him. Hey, preacher, I don't know if that's true or not, but I sure to God hope it is. You know, the devil's a liar, so you really can't believe anything he says. But he did say this, you've put a hedge about him, and God didn't say, no, it didn't. Now, you know what? The devil every now and then will tell enough truth to, he'll tell enough truth to get you to bite the bait. You know what I'm saying? And so I believe that statement right there is true, that there is a hedge about us. And let me tell you right now, if they ain't one, I've tried to pray one up.
Amen.
You know what? I've tried to pray one around me to say, oh dear God, if there's not one, would you please erect one? And I prayed every day of my life, God put a hedge about me and my ministry and my family, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, call them all by name. Oh God, and don't let the devil get through the fence. Oh, let me tell you something. And so I pray about that. But you see, sometimes in order for God to make our heart the way it ought to be, he has to let the fence down a little bit. And he allows burdens to come. I think about everybody that I know that God uses. You can't escape this. God, to some degree, has to take everybody by the neck at some time or other and shake you to pieces. You see, he did it with Job by, number one, all of his children were dead. Now, folks, I ain't talking about one or two of them died. Brother Scott, I remember preaching a revival for your daddy at Texas Baptist College and then preached for the church at night. And on the last night of that meeting I was preaching, I remember you and Jenny that night was at the hospital and lost that little baby. And you know something? You see Brother Scott now preaching. And you see him up here preaching and enjoys preaching like I did. And you see him as an evangelist out here and him and his family serving God full time. But you see back yonder, you maybe didn't see all that. When what God was doing is God was making his heart and making his wife's heart where he could use them. You see, it's impossible to be used of God without first being broken. You see, the burden's got to come. And old Job, before Job could become Job, he had to attend 10 funerals. And I mean, listen, all of his children. Can you imagine going to the funeral home to go by and see your friend, tell him you're praying for him, and see 10 caskets out around there? I can't even fathom 10 coffins. But you know something, neighbor? That there was 10 caskets. And then here come servants running and said, man, winds tore the place down. And the cattle's all gone, and the sheep's gone, and the oxen's gone. He went bankrupt. He lost, he didn't have anything except his wife. And he thought, well, at least I got my wife. And he did have her alive, but she was absolutely of no value at this point. Because she said, Job, curse God and die. Just cuss God, just cuss him out and let God kill you. Job said, you're speaking foolish words. He said, you're speaking like a foolish woman. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen. Didn't he say that? Hey, do you know something? I mean, listen. But he makes our hearts soft by burdens. I think about old Brother Craig back here. I thought about, listen, I guess it was at last October, preacher, that I preached your wife's funeral. Listen, I wished everybody here got to know Brother Craig's wife, Miss Bonnie. What a sweet, precious woman. She was so precious. She was such a help to this evangelist. He was a pastor at that time, but you know what? Listen, I really believe this, Brother Craig. I really believe God's going to use you more.
Yes, amen.
Now, I'll tell you something. I prayed a lot of prayers for God to touch her and heal her. But hey, there's just sometimes you got to come say, it just wasn't the will of God. And God took her on. But you say, well, he took her on. Listen, she couldn't be in any better place or any better care than where she's at now. But what I think he's doing is he's still working. You remember that little old tune years ago come out, the little song about he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be? Remember that? Hey, do you know what God's doing? There's a lot of truth in that little old song there. It was more like a little children's song, sort of, but there was a lot of truth in it that God is he lets the burdens make our heart. You see, the problem of it is why God can't use some of us. Sometimes that old heart gets so hard, God can't do anything with you. Think about old Larry Brown. Same way. I mean, you take anybody, take this man right here. Anybody, I don't care who you are. You see these ladies up here this morning singing. And yet, listen, I guarantee you, if you go across the board and start with every one of them, and went across and interviewed. They're standing up here and you hear their pretty voices and look like everything's just perfect. But can I say this? I promise you, before God uses you, my dear friends, there's burdens that softens our heart. Then let me say this. God maketh my heart soft by breaking me. Look at verse number 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left, and where doth he work? But I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. Look at this. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You see what I'm saying? He said, when he hath tried me, when God's finished, I'm going to come out of this thing like gold. See, it's a finished work. Now, you see what I'm saying? It's a finished work. And what God does, he says, I could really use him. I think about my good friend. You know, he was just a kid, really, in his 20s. And he come to our place and got right with the Lord, him and his wife. And they got right with God and jumped in there and got in a bus ministry and got to serving the Lord. And one day I said, man, how would you like to quit the plumbing business and work for me? And old Kirby Campbell, he said, yeah, man, I'd love that. And I hired Kirby as a youth director. And really, I was about to kill him. Ain't no wonder he left. I liked to work him to death. We need to hire another worker or two, you know, but we didn't have the money, so I just, you know, give him a lot to do. And he did it. He never complained. He was a hard worker. And he left and moved to Washington State. and started a church, and I preached for him out there. I don't know, several times I preached for him. Man, he's doing a great work out there as a pastor. I mean, he had a great soul winning church going. He was doing a great work, and he was praying, God, use me. Every time I talked to him on the phone, Kirby, how's it going? Oh, I'm doing good, preacher. You pray God really use me. Kirby had something matter with his knee. It was going in for a simple surgery. And the doctor made a mislick with a needle, stuck it into his spine, and ruined him for life. Brother Craig, it's pitiful. It's pitiful. You preacher, you was just with him. Listen, every time I look at him, I don't want him to see me crying. Man, it kills me to see the way he is. But can I tell you something? I just thought God was using him in Washington. He was using him out there, but let me tell you, he done hit another level now, Brother John. He's speaking all over the country, and God's using him, and he's got a ministry going now, and God's using him in a great way. But now, wait a minute, hold it. Let me tell you something. There's a price tag on getting used. When you say, God, use me. I was in a place a while back, and some little girls got up and sung that song. Preacher, the name of the song was called Whatever It Takes, Lord. That's what I'm willing to be. I sat there and cried with them. They sung it because I thought, girls, I hope that just ain't some song you pulled out and said this has got a pretty tune to it and some pretty words to it, because I'm telling you, when you sing that, you're really saying a mouthful. Lord, whatever it takes. Do you understand what you're saying? You see, God, my dear friends, if he's going to use you, and I'm not trying to scare you away from being used. I'm saying, though, it's a requirement. You know what? If a man's going to be a Marine or an Army soldier, you was in Vietnam. Was you in Marines or Army? Vietnam? Hey, I haven't ever asked him about this, but I guarantee you, as soon as he signed his name on the dotted line, they shipped him to some Army camp. And the first thing they done was strip him down and take his street clothes and throw them out and hand him a pair of green fatigues and get him up at 3 and 4 in the morning and run the fire out of him and set ups and squat thrust and pull ups and running with packs on and helmets and set ups and rifle range and getting cussed out and slapped at and everything else, and then put you in an airplane and ship you off to Vietnam and drop you in a jungle for a year. But he would have never made it if it hadn't been for the first thing was the boot camp. You know what they doing in boot camps? They trying to break you. They getting you in there. And by the way, if you break beyond the point where they want you to, they can't use you. Here's the good part. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. And you know what? God knows your load limit. You got bridges all over Ohio, and on them bridges is written on there the limit that a truck can cross that bridge. You know why? Because some engineer engineered that bridge to haul a certain load. He said, don't bring something bigger than this across this bridge. Now, some of them, it don't matter what you take across. They can handle anything. But they some of these little old country bridges out in Ohio through there in some of these farming areas, you don't want to take a tractor trailer hauling another tractor trailer on the back of it to come across there. It ain't going to handle it. It's going to break. But you know, the great part is the one that manufactured you and made you and knows every hair in your head and the number of it, knows exactly what to put on you to break you where he can use you.
Amen.
I think about old Brother Kirby. And he even does that with sinners. Hey, I knocked on the door of a man one day right below my church named Ray Vogel. He's a Catholic. I knocked on his door and he come to the door and said, yeah, what you need? I said, I'm Brother Cox right up the road here at the church. And I said, I've come down to give you a gospel tract and invite you to Sunday school. He said, I don't need that, and I don't need you. I said, well, sir, if you take this, you never know, you might need me. I'll never need you. And preacher, he slammed the door in my face. I got in my car and drove off. About 2 months passed. And one day my secretary called me out on a visitation. I was out visiting. She called and said, preacher, there's a man sitting here in the office crying, and said he's an older man. Said he lives right below the church. Said, you visited him here about 2 months ago. And he said he'd never need you, but but he needs you bad. He's broke all to pieces. And I went in there, and what happened, Brother Scott, is his wife, about 3 days before that, was walking to the mailbox and dropped dead of a massive heart attack. And he said, and this man sitting there, when I walked in, I didn't hardly recognize him. He didn't look the same. And he said, "Preacher, do you remember me?" And I said, "Well, I think I do." He said, "You remember the man down here that told you I'd never need you?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I need you." And he said, "Will you just pray with me?" And I prayed with him, Brother Scott, and I tried to lead him to Christ. When I started leading him to Christ, he got on the defense. He wouldn't let me. I just kept loving on him. I'd go by 3 or 4 times a week. I'd say, "Are you doing all right?" He's an older man. He said, "Not too good, preacher." He said, "I can't sleep." And he was just an awful mess. Well, I'd pray with him. I'd just go by and pray, read him some verses out of the Bible. That went on for months. And one day he was down there working in his front yard. And I stopped and got out, walked up to him, put my arm around him. I said, "Ray, don't you think it's about time you quit playing all this hard stuff and come to God and get saved?" "Hey, Brother Scott, his old eyes filled up with water." He said, "I believe it's about time."
Yes, amen.
And I got down on my knees with him there in his yard. And he prayed with me and asked the Lord to save him. Craig, I baptized him. About a year or so passed. He called me up one day and said, "Preacher, I've met this lady and her husband died. And of course, you know my wife's dead." And he said, "I've asked her to marry me." He said, "Would you do this little wedding for me?" And I did a little wedding and him and her moved off. And he thanked me for that day coming by. But you know what God did? God had to, that man was so hard, he'd have went to hell the way he was. And God loved him so much, he said, "I'm going to break him." And let me tell you something. Oh, let me tell you something. Before God can use you, listen, and God ain't abusing you by breaking you. It's just the way we are. You see what I'm trying to say? You know, for a horse is any good, a good saddle horse, you can appreciate somebody riding a nice, gentle horse. But folks, I ain't like that when that man first got on that horse. Somebody had to break that horse. Somebody had to get on him for the first time, put a saddle blanket on him. Brother, you step up on somebody, I mean, listen, it's going to be a battle. But there's people that are great horsemen that know exactly what to do to break them. I'm not one of those. I like to get on them when they about like them down at Walmart. Amen. Hey, I want to get on one where it ain't going to throw you and stomp you and kick you and drag you. Amen. I like to be a cowboy, but I like somebody else that done the rough work before I got there. You see. Oh, let me tell you something. He makes my heart soft by burdens. He makes my heart soft when he breaks me. And then let me say this right here. God maketh my heart soft because, listen, I don't turn back. You see, in verse 12, look at it. Neither have I gone back from the commandments. You know what this is like? Hey, listen to me. I ain't going to preach a lot longer, but I'm going to tell you something. It's like a school. Christ said in Matthew 11, 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you," and listen to this, "learn of me." You got to learn. Well, let me tell you what you better learn. You better learn that you can't quit school. If you ever get a diploma, you got to finish. And you know what? When I was a kid, you ever pull this, preacher? You know the big test was coming, you wasn't ready for it and just laid out the next day. I'll be honest with you. I've done it. When I was a kid, I'd done it a few times. You know, because I knowed, hey, they ain't no use to go set through that. You ain't going to make it no out. It ain't going to do no good. You're going to fail it. Now, I'm telling you, it took me 12 years and 2 summers to get through school. So I wasn't the valedictorian. I was just glad when they handed me a diploma, I about had to go sit down somewhere. I mean, listen, I barely made it. See? But you know what? Here, let me tell you something about them tests. When you stay out of school a day and you come back, guess what? The day you come back, that test is laying right there on your desk. And they said, "Buddy, you can't escape that. You've got to take that test." Right. And you know what God does? He said, "You can lay out if you want to. But before you go to the next grade, you must pass the test." Right. How do you pass the test? By burdens and by brokenness, but you must remain in school. You see what I'm trying to say? Here's what he said in verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. You know what that means? When you get burdened and you get broken, you still stand up here and sing. Now you have to sing through tears, but you still do it. Hey, that means that when Thursday night or Tuesday night or Saturday morning soul winning or whatever it is here, whenever this man gets up and says, all right, folks, Thursday night, now it's time to go tell people about the Lord. We're going out here Thursday night. That means even if you're broken, you still get your pocket full of tracks show up. That means if you're a Sunday school teacher and God's still trying to make you soft, your heart soft, that means you teach that class. If you have to stand up and teach a little bunch of little boys and girls with tears, you still do it. You don't go back from the commandment of his lips. That means you still reach and get your billfold and pay your tithes. That means whatever it is, whatever you do, if you're an usher, the sound man, or the pianist, or the organist, or assistant pastor here, or whatever you are, you still don't go back from the commandments of his lips.
Amen.
Why? You're still in school. And God's still schooling you. Come unto me and learn of me. Paul said that I may know him, listen to this, and the power of his resurrection, listen to this, and the fellowship of his suffering. Oh, I want to be like Jesus. Well, you can. You can. But it's going to take a lot of work. You ain't going to do that easy. Hey, listen, let me tell you right now. And by the way, nobody can do it for you. Nobody can just sit down and teach you. Say, well, let me teach you how to be like Jesus. Jesus is the one that has to teach you to be like Jesus. And you got to walk Gethsemane. You got to walk through the garden. You got to go through Gabbatha.
That's right.
And let me tell you something. Ma'am, you got to go through the grave. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. See, the way to go from just being fruitless to bringing forth fruit and then more fruit, then much fruit, is he gets you by the neck and shakes you to pieces, and then it affects your heart to make your heart. Now let me tell you something you can do. There's a danger to this thing. If you ain't careful when he's shaking you to pieces, you can turn on God and blame God. And I'll tell you what'll happen is that old heart becomes like a stone.
Amen.
You can get so hard, that you're mad at God, mad at the pastor, mad at the ministry, mad at everything. These people sitting at home this morning, not necessarily in this church, but probably are, all over America, people sitting in their house don't even want anything to do with church. Because they feel like God did them wrong. And all God was trying to do was make them more like Him so He could get glory out of their life and use them to become what they ought to be. But they got bitter. Old Kirby Campbell. Listen. This guy's broken. But God's using him in a great way. But there was a price tag with it. You know something? Years ago, and I'll tell you this. I'm going to finish up here just in a minute. But when I first came to Moxville there, you know, I tried to back in them days, and it's been years. I tried to take one day if I could. My kids was little, and I'd try to take a day a week off. Now, that's not a bad thing, but I hadn't done it in years and years because, man, I can't hardly get an hour off. But just going and going and going. And I remember that me and my wife one time went to a Belk's store. You got Belk's up here? Belk's store? You don't have them? Well, down there, it's just a clothing store. And we went in this clothing store one day, and I saw these beautiful ties, Brother Scott. Now, they had a bunch of them on a rack, and it said sale. And you'd get them $5 a piece. They were pretty ties. But I went over here where you pay for everything, and it's glass right here, and they had these other ties under it. It didn't say sale on that. And let me tell you something, it's real bad when the price tags turn down. See, I didn't know. I just thought somebody messed up. And I said, well, that girl was in a hurry and the price tags. But I noticed they all turned face down. You know what that means? That woman wants to say, is there something in here you'd like to look at? I thought, well, yeah. Yeah, I like that. Boy, that's a pretty tie right there. Now we're talking about 25, 26 years ago is what we're talking about. I said, "Ma'am, how much is that tie right there?" She said, "Well, let's see." Hey, I thought I was going to have to go sit down. She said, "Well, $55. Now, we're talking about 25, 26 years ago. Hey, back now, I wasn't paying that much for suits." I said, "All right, thank you." And I went over to my wife's looking something. I said, "Hey, you want to see something?" I said, "Go over there and ask her. Or don't go ask her." I said, "But just, you know how much they want for them ties laying in there? $55 a tie." Now, you know what? If you wanted to, you could wear one of them ties out of there. But let me tell you something. You was going to have to really want it bad. And you was going to have some money. Do you know what? You can become what you ought to become. But you better understand something. You're going to pay for it. If God uses you, you see some of these preachers preaching around and God's really using them, but just do a little study on them. Hey, Bob Jr. preached here this week. Go back and check his life out. Just track him around a little bit and see the burdens that man's got and has had to get him to where he's at. Same way with him, any of these preachers, will tell you, he's absolutely right. And folks, it's no different with a layman if God really uses them. Or an assistant, it ain't no different. It's Christianity, and in order to be used, he's got to make your, it's the heart that God wants. See, it's the heart of everything. Hey, let me tell you something else God uses to make your heart soft. God uses the book to make your heart soft. Hey, you know what it is? Folks, if you want to get hard-hearted, let me tell you, do it. Just forsake this old book. You better live in the book. Hey, you know what? Listen to this, what it says. Job said this in verse 12. "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." In Job 22:21, he said, "Acquaint now thyself with him." You know how you can get acquainted with God? Live in his book. You ever read a biography of somebody and after you finished it, you felt like you knew them? Do you know something? If you'll keep reading this book, hey, and let me tell you something. You know what this old King James Bible is? Brother man, it's Jesus on paper. That's why I don't tinker with it. You ain't going to get me. Hey, I won't even lay my jacket on my Bible. Hey, I won't even lay my coat. I ain't going to lay another book. You can give me a book. I don't care who wrote it. It ain't going to lay on top of that book. Hey, you know why? Because he said, I magnify his word above my name. Now, if you want to, hey, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John 1:14, "And we beheld his glory as of the only glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Hey, this old book right here, I'm telling you right now, I believe every word in it. But it don't need no improvement. It needs somebody to get up and preach a devil out of people with it. Hey, it don't need this. This Bible don't need nothing. This is the one they handed me 42 years ago when I got in the family of God. 3 days after I was saved, they handed me a King James Bible. Amen. And listen, I've never doubted not one time that it was absolutely perfect, inspired, hallelujah, the Word of God, cover to cover, buddy. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, hey, I might look like I come to town on a load of pumpkins, but I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. Hey, I got more sense than to try to change horses in the middle of the stream. You get me in a river, I'm going to hang real tight in the mane of that and I'm going to ride. And I'm going to have my feet in the stirrups real good. Bless God, I ain't changing horses. I'm just going to be praying for the one I'm riding. Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you're going through the battles and you're going through the storms and you're going through the hard times, listen to me. There's only one book that's ever been that will sustain you, and that's this one. Oh, let me tell you, you get this old book down. Job said, "I eat more than necessary." Now, let me tell you, hey, this one's fat-free, buddy. You can eat all you want. I've been trying to cut back and eat halfway right. You know, I got diabetes. I know I don't look like I have, but I have. I'm doing better than I was doing anyhow. And the other day I asked my wife, I said, "What about this fruit?" She said, "Eat all of it you want there. It's all right." She said, "There ain't no points on that." And I said, "I don't care. Listen, I'm going to tell you, If there ain't no, I said, is it fattening? I don't care about points. I don't understand points. I want to know, will it fatten you up? No, that's all I need to know. Brother, listen, I was going after them grapes and going after them honeydew melon and watermelon and cantaloupe and everything, and watermelon, anything I can get my hands on. I like fruit. Hey, but you know what? Job said, I eat more than my necessary food. He said, in other words, I eat all you want. And then when the battles is going on, turn it up. Turn it up. Yeah. David said, I would have perished in mine affliction had it not been for thy law.
Right.
David said, I wouldn't have made it hadn't been for the Bible.
Right.
Brother Scott, years ago, and I'm just about through here. I was at the Highland Park Baptist Church preacher and is having an old Sword of the Lord conference. I was there and had tents set up. Remember when they set them tents up out there in them old books and things? And I was out there and I walked by this booth and it was the Roloff Holmes. Lester Roloff's Holmes had a booth set up. And I was looking at everything and some of Brother Roloff's tapes and all that. And all of a sudden, there was a Bible laying there that I come across. I've never seen a Bible more wore out or used. And it wasn't abused. It was marked, it was rolled in, it was actually out here on the leather was actually wore off where he'd handled it so much in the pages. It was just wore. And I saw that Bible laying there and I was looking at it and this man said, go on and pick it up. And I picked it up and when I had it in my hand like that, he said, do you know whose Bible you're holding? I said, no. He said, Lester Roloff's. He said, sir, that's the Bible that Roloff had when they put him in jail. That's the one he was carrying when they put him in jail because he wouldn't take a license from the state of Texas. Hey, preacher, you didn't have to ask anybody. I wonder if he read more than his necessary food. You ever hear Brother Roloff preach? Let me tell you something. He had God on him, buddy. Hey, and you know something? Let me tell you something about him. He eat more than necessary. He just consumed the book.
Amen.
Oh, let me tell you, but you know what he did? But he had a soft heart. Now, he was straight as a gun barrel, wasn't he? Hey, he was straight as an arrow, and his convictions was right, but his heart was tender. Do you see what I'm telling you? Hey, your heart soft. Then he maketh my heart soft because of the bed he puts me in. Listen to this verse. Psalm 41:3 said, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou will make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul. See, dealing with the soul. I have sinned against thee. He said, but God makes the bed. God puts you in a bed. Sometimes a hospital bed, you can learn more in a hospital bed than you can in a classroom. Because God gets you down there and He breaks you down where He can speak to you. He gets you real quiet where He can talk. You know the problem is this world's got too much noise in it for anybody to learn much anything. It's too rackety. Too much noise. I like to get out there somewhere. Hey, you know we call it quiet time. Hey, you got to work now to get somewhere where it's quiet.
Amen.
You got to try to, you have to hustle and go get away from everything. Go find somewhere where you can hear God just about. I mean, listen, because there's so much going on. Oh, but He maketh my heart soft because we obey Him in verses 11 and 12. Obey Him. He make your heart soft. Be obedient. And you know what He does? He makes your heart soft. You know, don't you want to get to the place? Don't you want to get to the place that if you don't obey Him and love Him and you disappoint Him, that it hurts your heart? I want my heart soft. As a preacher, I don't want in my older years to become hard. I'm talking about my heart being hard. Now, I want to keep my convictions.
Amen.
I want to stay right on all that. But I don't want my old heart to become calloused.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Bitter at the ministry. That's right. And bitter at people. And bitter at situations. And bitter at God. Oh, listen, I want to keep my heart. Hey, listen, He maketh my heart soft and I'm through by conforming me to the image of His dear Son. You know what He's really trying to do? Listen to me. What God's whole agenda is this. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. But can I tell you this? You know what He's really doing? Verse 29 is the key to verse 28. He's conforming us into the image of His Son. He's trying to make us like Jesus. And you know where he has to really get all of that comes. It ain't outside. It ain't on the outside. Now it's good if we're on the outside and we got everything looking like Jesus. But you know what? It starts from the inside and works its way out.
Amen.
You see, if you get a heart like Jesus, there won't be any problem with the rest of it. Because our heart, the problem with our heart, his was a perfect heart. Let me tell you about ours. Ours was above all things desperately wicked. So it takes a lot of work. Above all things, the heart's desperately wicked. And who can know it? So for God to take me and make me like his son, brother, it's a big work. So he says, I got to do a bunch of things to him to get him to where. Let me just tell you these two little things and I'll close. I was preaching in Indian Springs, North Carolina a few weeks ago. And a guy in my church, Joe Ingham, used to work on my staff. And Joe's pastoring now. He had me down to preach for him. You go to school with Joe? And old Joe's pastoring down there now in Indian Springs, and he come had me down for a meeting. He said, preacher, I want you to see this card that this man in my church got. I was like, if you see his car. He called him up and said, bring it to church tonight. And this fella had, I believe it was a 69 Mustang. Preacher, it's the prettiest thing I ever saw in my life. It was yellow and black. It was absolutely wasn't a blemish inside or out. It was the prettiest car I ever saw. It's beautiful. And this guy was telling me about it and everything. He said, I give five. He said, I had to go to Florida. Now, I won't do this, but I'm telling you what this man done. He said, I went to Florida and give $5,000 for the original air cleaner to set up on this thing. Lord, I thought, help. $5,000 for the original air cleaner that goes on this some kind of high-performance thing. He started telling me about it, and I said, well, brother, where did you get the car? And this is what he said, Scott. He said, I bought it over here in a junkyard. It didn't have no doors on it, no trunk lid, no hood. The right front fender was gone. And I got it, and I had to work and go to Raleigh and try to get a title because they'd salvaged it out. I said, how much money you got in? He said, don't even ask. He said, every piece of this car, every piece, every bolt, every nut in. He said, I've handled every piece of that car, everything. I've went through it. He said, I've actually got up under it. He told me, he said, I went up under this car, told me what all he did. He said, I've got thousands and thousands of dollars in it and thousands of hours. But it was perfect. He said, that's finished product. I said, it couldn't look any better if Ford hadn't made it and sent it down here. He said, thank you. Now, I know I really couldn't appreciate it. He probably thought, well, yeah, he ought to have said something more than that. I mean, I didn't know what to say. But you know what? That man had blood, sweat, and tears in that thing. But you know where he found it? In a trash pile. You know where God found me? Preacher, he found me in a trash pile one day. He said, you know what I can do? I can make something out of that I could use, I believe. I could take something and make something out of him. But boy, it's going to take a lot of work. So what God done is God saved me in 1969. Amen. Then he started working. And Brother Man, he's been working now for 42 years and I'm still not finished. Paul said, I'm not yet apprehended.
Amen.
Oh, but folks, I'm trying to get where he can do something with me. I might not never be much. But I want to get where he can use me. Let me tell you this. A little old boy was crossing a park in Illinois, a big city park. And a man was up there on a ladder with a big old block of stone and he had a chisel in his hand. He was cutting on that stone. This little boy's on his way to school with his books. And he come back through there that evening. That man was still up there when school ended and still cutting. Over there on the side was a picture of Abraham Lincoln. And the little boy stopped and looked up on the ladder. He said, sir, what are you doing to that rock? He said, son, I'm taking this hammer and this cutting chisel. And I'm making a statue of President Abraham Lincoln. And that little boy said, sir, how in the world are you going to make that rock look like Abraham Lincoln? He said, well, son, I got a picture there of him. And all I got to do is take this hammer and this cutting chisel and cut everything off of this rock that don't look like President Lincoln. You know what God had to do to me? I said, I want to be like Jesus. And he said, well, you ain't much like him. I know. And he says, I got to do a bunch of cutting. And now 42 years God's been chiseling on me. But you know what he had to do? He has to work from inside out. And I'm going to tell you something. Keep your heart where God can speak to you. Hey, when this man's a preaching, listen, forget about everything else and say, God, please speak to my heart. Listen to me. Lord, let me hear what God, him that hath ears to hear, let him hear, because it goes through the ears and sinks down into the heart. And then God begins to do something with your heart. And if you don't listen, he might have to reach down and get you by the neck and shake you till he gets your attention. Why don't you just say, Lord, I'm listening. And Lord, make me what you'd have me to be. But Lord, when you do it, would you please have mercy? Lord, I'm not Job. I'm not the best Christian. Lord, I'm not nowhere. I'm not even in his league. I'm not anywhere around that. Lord, please use me on my little bus route. Use me on my Sunday school class. But Lord, when you use me, have mercy on me. Be merciful to me. Hey, you know, there might be somebody in this room right now. God's trying to work you. Let's bow our heads. You know what I'd do if I was you? I'd just say, Lord, I want to be used. I do want to be used. Lord, make me usable. Lord, use me. You know what? Some of you have been in the valley so long, you might want to just say, you know what? It's time for me to visit that mountaintop Brother Scott preached about. Why don't you stand with me right now as our musicians comes to the... Would you come and use this old-fashioned altar? Would you come right now? Come right now.